Hi there, this is the Romance Program. I'm volunteer Jeannie Ost for Sun Sounds. I've got two stories coming up this hour I hope you'll enjoy. The first one is from True Confessions magazine called The Other Woman. Here's the story. I've always believed that each of us has a soulmate, the one person on earth that we're meant to love. I never dreamed, though, that my own soulmate would be married to someone else. When I first met Dylan, I'd just ended a six-month relationship. Although I tried hard to make things work with my ex-boyfriend, it was clear that we simply weren't destined to be with each other. Sure, we were compatible in all those superficial ways that people mistake for a real connection. We liked the same kinds of music and enjoyed many of the same hobbies, and we even followed the same sports teams. But when it came to the things that really mattered, my ex wasn't the soul twin I longed for. There was nothing actually wrong with him. In fact, my ex was a nice, if somewhat negative, person. But even after a few months, I didn't feel that closeness that I craved. I wanted to feel comfortable enough to share my true spirit with someone else, to feel like I could reveal every bit of my inner self without fear of being judged. I never felt that way around my ex, despite all of my efforts, so I called it quits. The day I broke up with my ex, my sister, Kathleen, wanted to take me dancing, saying that it would cheer me up. "I'm not upset," I said. "Why does everyone seem to think that I should be upset over this?" "Breaking up is tough, even when you're the one doing the breaking," Kathleen said, as she fixed my hair. "Besides, there's no reason to be alone like this on a Saturday night." She did have a point. It was the first warm weekend of the year, and I felt the itch to go out and have some fun on my first night as a single girl in months. I picked out a sexy halter top, snug jeans, and cute wedges that showed off my hot pink toenails. If I did happen to meet someone that night, I wanted to be dressed for the occasion. "So where are you taking me?" I asked as Kathleen pulled onto the freeway. "Destiny," I laughed. Destiny was a popular nightclub on the edge of town. Kathleen knew how much I believed in fate, so I'm sure she chose that place for the name alone. "Does that mean you're hoping I have a date with Destiny or something? Or maybe find a date at Destiny?" I asked. "Hey, you never know, right?" she said. "At least your chance of meeting someone at Destiny is better than if you stayed at home. I wanted to stack the odds in your favor." When we arrived, there was already a line snaking around the front of the club. I stood up straighter and tossed my hair back as we approached the line, hoping to catch the eye of the doorman guarding the velvet rope. Sure enough, he spotted us and gave us a subtle nod. He unhooked one end of the rope and whisked us past the envious stares of the crowd and through the door. It took a moment for my eyes to adjust to the swirling colored lights inside. A few spotlights threw beams of light that illuminated random parts of the crowd near the bar and on the dance floor, making the mass of bodies look like rolling ocean waves. Kathleen and I crossed the dance floor toward the bar, shimmying our hips in time to the infectious music. Even though I was already feeling pretty good, my mood lifted even higher from being surrounded by so many people having fun. Kathleen ordered cosmopolitans for both of us. When our drinks arrived, we leaned against the bar and surveyed the crowd. There were obviously some bachelorette parties going on since we saw two girls wearing white veils on their heads. I felt a stab of longing. I should have known that going to a club during wedding season would remind me that I had yet to find the one for me. "Hey, Ash, can you wait here? I need to use the ladies' room," Kathleen said. "You can have more drinks if you want. I'm done for the night." I watched her disappear into the crowd as I drained my glass. A group of five guys on the edge of the dance floor seemed to be looking my way. I looked up and groaned. I was standing directly under one of the spotlights. No wonder they were staring at me. I tried to scoot over a few feet, but it was difficult with so many people jockeying for space in front of the bar. I managed to move enough so that the light only caught my shoulder, but then I dropped my purse. Any coolness I felt from jumping the line out front disappeared. Cursing my clumsiness, I bent to pick my purse up off the floor, but when I stood back up, I accidentally brushed my hand against the thigh of someone's pant leg. My cheeks flamed. "Sorry about that," I said as I straightened the hem of my top. I said the words to the general direction of the pants, hoping that whoever I touched wouldn't see how embarrassed I was. "That's quite okay," a smooth, deep voice said. "I normally wait until the third date before I let someone touch my leg, but I'm willing to bend the rules a bit for you." I lifted my head to get a look at the man with the intriguing voice. When I saw him for the first time, I felt all the air leave my body. "Hi, I'm Dylan," he said. "Ashley." I hated how squeaky my voice sounded. I cleared my throat, hoping he wouldn't notice. "Buy you another?" he said, pointing to the empty glass in front of me. I nodded, too stunned to speak. My nerves were still buzzing. Maybe Kathleen was onto something when she talked me into coming to Destiny. I could tell right away that Dylan was going to play an important part in my life. "The line was horrendous," Kathleen said as she slid next to me. I glanced at her and tilted my head in Dylan's direction. Kathleen got the hint and gave me a tiny thumbs-up sign before heading toward the dance floor, leaving Dylan and me alone. The bartender brought me my drink. "Nothing for you?" I asked Dylan as I brought the cool glass to my lips. Dylan shook his head. "I'm the designated driver tonight," he said. "It's my cousin's bachelor party." "Gee, it doesn't sound like you're having too much fun." "Actually, I am, especially now that I've met you." I nearly choked on my drink. This was the kind of stuff that only happened in my dreams. "Really?" I asked. I hoped, prayed that he wasn't playing some sort of joke on me. "Yeah, I was actually heading out to my car to get some cigars for the guys when I saw you under that light. I had to come over and say hello because I was afraid you wouldn't still be there when I came back." "Well, I'm not going anywhere. Go take care of your buddies. I'll be here." "I'll stay in the same spot until closing time if he needs me to." "No, I'd rather be with you. They'll live." He winked and took my hand. "Want to dance?" "I love dancing, and I think I'm decent at it." But Dylan had moves that put mine to shame. Guys normally look a bit silly when they dance. Not Dylan. The way he moved his body turned the heads of every girl around us. With each twist of his shoulders and every swivel of his hips, the temperature of the room seemed to bump up a few degrees. Kathleen found me and joined us. Dylan's bachelor party soon followed, and we all danced the night away. Last call came much too soon. The crowd began to thin out, and his buddies started getting more rowdy. Dylan looked over at them and sighed. "It looks like it's time to take these drunk clowns home," he said. He didn't move, though. I looked at my feet. Even though we spent most of the night dancing instead of talking, I felt a connection with Dylan that I'd never felt with anyone else. I didn't want him to go. "Will I get to see you again?" I asked. He hesitated. "That depends. On what?" "On whether you want to see me again." "I'm not sure I follow you," I said. "I wouldn't have asked if I didn't." Dylan looked straight into my eyes. He bit his lip, seeming to wrestle with something inside himself. "Ashley, I'm married." My heart lurched. No, it can't be true. It can't be. Not the way we clicked so easily. "I still want to stay in touch with you," he said, his voice gentle, "but only if you're comfortable with that. I mean, we can be friends." I knew that whole friends bit was a lie for both of us. The attraction between us was too strong for us to stay simply friends for long. I was sure he knew that, too. "Hey, Dylan," a voice hollered behind him. "Lloyd says he needs to get home." "One more minute," he called back. Dylan faced me again. "Seriously, it's up to you. No pressure," he said, his voice gentle. "You won't hurt my feelings if you don't want to give me your number. I only want you to know that I'd love to talk with you more sometime." My heart was torn. He was honest enough to tell me up front that he was married, but if he was, why did he approach me? On top of that, there was that instant spiritual link I felt for him, one that I had never felt with my ex. That was no accident. Meeting him at a place called Destiny was no accident either. I didn't believe in accidents. It was fate. I took a pen out of my purse and scribbled my work number on a bar napkin. I wasn't about to give him my home phone number, not with the risk of his wife finding out. "Here," I said, handing the napkin to him. "It's all up to you now." I didn't hear from him the next night or even the following week. Although Kathleen was patient with me, I could tell she was getting tired of hearing my whining about Dylan being married. I tried to explain to her that I knew he was the one, my soulmate, but she kept saying, "He's married," like I needed a reminder of that little inconvenient fact. After a few weeks, I gave up hoping to hear from him ever again. Then one day, a lovely bouquet of snapdragons, pink roses, and daisies appeared at my desk with no card. Snapdragons are my favorite flower, and I marveled at the gorgeous arrangement. My phone rang a few minutes after the flowers arrived. "So, do you like the flowers?" a familiar voice asked. Even though I hadn't heard from Dylan in weeks, I recognized his voice right away. "Dylan, oh my goodness, I thought you weren't going to call me back." I looked up from my desk, checking to make sure no one was around to see me so giddy. "The flowers are unbelievable. Thank you so much. Are you free for dinner tonight? I really want to see you again." "Of course," I said, "yes." When I saw him at the restaurant, I gave him a big hug, forgetting it was only the second time we had seen each other. He felt like a friend I'd known forever, and that feeling didn't change after we sat down and started talking. I can't remember what I told him, but I'm sure I covered most of my life story through cocktails and appetizers, Dylan was an attentive listener, drawing me out with questions that showed he not only heard the words I was saying, but the emotions behind them. As corny as it sounds, it was like he had a window into my soul. It thrilled and frightened me at the same time. We finished our salads before I got the nerve to ask him, "Does your wife know you're here?" Dylan shifted in his seat and then refilled my wine glass. "She's on vacation with the kids all next week." "Kids? You have kids? Wow, Dylan is full of surprises, isn't he?" I took a sip of wine and then slowly set down my glass. "Dylan, maybe it's time you told me what's going with you. I've told you a lot about me. Now it's your turn." Despite my harsh tone, I really did want to find out as much as I could about him. He intrigued me. I wanted to see if there was any substance behind the chemistry between us. I was sure he felt it too. Plus, the more I knew about his family situation, the more I could figure out how to handle it. "I wanted you to know up front that I'm married. I don't believe in keeping secrets when it comes to my true feelings. That's why I didn't bother sneaking around to meet you. We are here together, out in the open, where anyone can see us." I didn't even think of that. I would have thought that as a married man, he would have tried to keep our meeting a secret, but there we were, having dinner together and looking like a normal couple, except we were anything but normal. "Aren't you afraid that you'll run into someone you know?" "Not at all," he said. "Anyone who knows me also knows the situation between me and my wife. I didn't even marry her until our first child was 2, and the only reason I did that was because I wanted to do the right thing for my kids. It had nothing to do with her." "But you must have loved your wife enough to marry her." He shook his head. "She pursued me until I gave in, especially after our son was born. I guess I had to learn to love her over time." "But if you love her, then why are you here with me?" He reached across the table and ran a finger against my cheek. The feel of his skin against mine was so delicious, so electric. His eyes never left my face. Honestly, I thought what I felt for my wife was love, and I wondered what the big deal was. It felt stable, but I felt like there had to be more. I knew exactly what he was talking about. I felt the same way about my ex. But when I saw you, I fell in love right at that moment. And then when we spent some more time together, it was like I had everything I ever imagined love could be all in one person. You were exciting, comforting, and familiar at the same time, like we were lovers in a past life or something. I know that sounds weird, but I think you know what I mean. My breath caught in my throat. Did he just say he's in love with me? I couldn't believe that he was putting in words the exact feelings I had toward him. This was the kind of feeling that all women wished for since they were little girls. The fairy tale come true. I couldn't believe my ears. "Yes, yes, I do," I said. It was all the words I could muster. The waiter set our dinners in front of us, but I was so overwhelmed that I didn't think I could eat a single bite. We spent the rest of the evening talking, barely even touching our food. It was like having a best friend, but even more exciting. I told him about parts of my life that no one else knew about, and he told me about the disappointments in his life, his own mistakes, and his plans to fix them. The fact that Dylan was willing to be vulnerable and show me he wasn't perfect touched me even more. His honesty moved me to tears. When the waiter told us that the restaurant was closing in 15 minutes, we both looked at him in surprise, like our first night at Destiny. Our time together had flown by. Dylan paid the check and slipped his hand over mine as we walked outside. The gesture felt so natural that I kept forgetting he wasn't coming home with me. He had another home waiting for him. A light drizzle greeted us outside, glazing everything it touched with a sheen that reflected the street lights overhead. It felt like a movie set, one that featured Dylan and me falling in love. I laughed and stepped out from under the awning, letting the rain hit my face as I twirled around. I was so happy. I wished I could hug the sky. I looked over at Dylan. He was leaning against one of the poles supporting the awning, watching me with a smile on his face. The look in his eyes said it all. He felt the same way I did. When I walked over to him, he enveloped me in his arms and kissed me. There was no awkward moment, no hesitation before his kiss. I wrapped my arms around his neck and melted against his body, feeling his warmth surround me. Kissing Dylan in front of a restaurant on Main Street, we couldn't get more open than that. After our first date, Dylan called me every day and we talked for hours each time. His cell phone bill for the first month we were together was over $1,000. I didn't know how he managed to schedule so much time to talk to me in between his job, his wife, and his kids, but I felt even more special that he made talking to me such a high priority. I knew I should have felt guilty about seeing a married man, but my initial discomfort with the whole thing soon disappeared when I saw how confident and open Dylan was about seeing me. "My feelings for you are sincere, so why should I hide them?" he said. He was right. What we had was true love, and it was too precious to keep hidden. Before long, he visited me at work, introduced me to his friends, and occasionally even came to my church. He met my family and friends, but the only one who knew he was married was Kathleen. I made her swear not to say anything. Dylan and I might have decided not to hide what we were doing, but I still had the nagging fear that my friends would think I was a homewrecker if they knew the whole story. It was sad knowing that people who've known me my whole life wouldn't accept me the way Dylan did. I could tell that Kathleen wasn't thrilled with the idea, but she knew me well enough not to voice her opinion around me. After all, she was the one who took me to Destiny in the first place. When we finally made love, it was unlike anything I'd ever experienced in my whole life. It wasn't just physical. We became one that night in every possible way. I don't know whether he decided to become even more candid or more careless after we started sleeping together. He soon stopped bothering to leave my apartment early to head back home. He even spent the night every so often and called me from his home instead of from work. Because we were so public about our relationship, I wasn't surprised when his wife eventually called me while Dylan was at my apartment. It was the first time I had ever heard her voice. "Is Dylan there?" she asked. Her voice sounded muffled as if she'd been crying. "Who is this?" "This is his wife," she said, practically spitting out the last word. I know he's there. I want to talk to him now. Dylan stepped out of my bedroom, wearing only his jeans and no shirt. I covered the mouthpiece of the phone with my hand. It's her, I said. I had dreaded this moment for months, even though I knew it had to come sometime. I was thankful that Dylan was with me, though. Having him near me gave me strength. Dylan went back into the bedroom and picked up the extension. The next 2 hours were a blur, with Dylan's wife alternating between yelling and crying and Dylan trying to calm her down. I didn't know what to say to her. What could I say to her? I clutched the phone, hanging on to it as if it could protect me from the erupting chaos. What does she have that I don't? She finally said. Her voice sounded flat as if her spirit was gone. Why are you doing this to me? Veronica, I don't love you, Dylan said, his voice calm with the truth. I love her. A piercing wail hit my ears. Dylan's wife let loose a fresh stream of obscenities, calling Dylan every name in the book and some I hadn't even heard of. I squeezed my eyes shut and held the receiver a few inches away from my ear. Dylan must really love me if he was willing to put himself through all of this. Sometimes living your life authentically meant making sacrifices. I didn't know how Dylan was strong enough to endure it. When the phone call was finally over, Dylan came into the kitchen and hugged me from behind, bending to rest his chin on my shoulder. We didn't say anything to each other, but I could tell that he was exhausted. She's sick over this, he said. I know. I'll need to stay here for a few days until she settles down. I turned around and kissed him lightly on the lips. You can stay here as long as you want, I said. This is your home, too. Dylan and his wife separated soon after the phone fiasco. He moved in with me. We opened a joint bank account and started planning a romantic vacation getaway for the fall. Even though I felt a bit guilty for breaking up Dylan's marriage, it was clear that we were meant to be together. It was fate, destiny. You couldn't fight against a force like that. After Dylan had told his wife flat out that he loved me, he became even more vocal about telling everyone else. Even I was shocked at how open he was about declaring his love for me. He might as well have put it on a billboard. Maybe this isn't such a good idea after all, I said during a moment when my guilt was in overdrive. Have you thought of going to counseling or something? I thought you wanted to spare your kids from all of the pain. What kind of example would I be setting for my kids if I stayed? He asked. I'd be teaching them that it's more important to live a lie than to live according to your own truth. Is that what you want them to learn? How to be unhappy? Being with you is worth any price. When Dylan put it that way, I had to agree. Too many people settled lives that made them miserable. Wouldn't it be a better world if more people did what made them happy? So few people had the chance to meet their soulmates in their lifetimes. It felt like a sin for Dylan and I to squander the kind of love we found with each other. Dylan started the divorce proceedings right away. I went to the lawyer's office with Dylan for moral support, and I sat quietly while they went over all of the divorce papers. I could hardly contain my nervousness. I had so many mixed feelings. Once the papers were served on his wife, it would signal the end of Dylan's marriage and the start of his life with me. I wished it was possible to get through this without hurting anyone, but it was already too late. I was sorry that his kids were caught in the middle, but Dylan was right. They would someday understand that being true to yourself is the most important thing in the world, and sometimes that meant hurting others. I trusted that everything would work out in the long run. Waiting for Dylan's divorce to move forward was excruciating. I was impatient to be the only woman in Dylan's life and proclaim our love in a wedding of our own. I started shopping for dresses, going to wedding expos, and putting together a guest list. It may have seemed premature to spend so much time planning when Dylan hadn't even proposed to me yet, but I knew it was only a matter of when, not if. Dylan didn't mention the divorce for several weeks. I thought that once the papers were served, there would be a bunch of meetings as Dylan and his wife hammered out the details. With the kids, I knew it couldn't be an easy process, and since Dylan shared absolutely everything in his life with me, I was extra worried at the lack of news. I held off asking him any questions, though, especially since he was looking more and more stressed out by the day. Finally, I couldn't wait any longer. I had to know what happened, what was happening. I waited until Dylan was relaxing on the couch watching TV before I approached him. I brought him a beer and snuggled next to him. He draped his arm around me, giving me a squeeze and kissing me on the top of my head like he did each evening. I got off the phone with several halls, I said while he played with my hair. They wanted to know what dates we were looking at for the wedding reception, and I told him I'd check with you first. Dylan's hands stopped moving. Wedding reception? I don't even know when the divorce is going to be final. His voice was gentle, but I detected an edge of irritation underneath. I know, but it never hurts to plan ahead, right? Halls book up so far in advance that I thought it would be good to start looking now. Do you at least have an idea of when everything's going to be done? He sighed. No, I don't. It's complicated with the kids, and Veronica isn't helping matters. She's fighting every step of the way. I should have expected it from her. Dylan clearly didn't want to talk about it anymore, so I let it drop. As long as his divorce was moving forward, no matter how slowly, that was all that mattered. I could wait. Anything worthwhile required patience, and I had lots of patience when it came to Dylan. I didn't realize just how patient I had to be, though, until a few weeks later. I arrived home from work early so I could surprise Dylan with a romantic homemade dinner. I was the one who ended up surprised, however. Dylan was on the phone. I closed the door quietly so I could hear what he was saying. Yes, I know I haven't paid the filing fee, he said. That's because I'm not ready to serve the papers yet. I held my breath. The papers haven't been served? Is he talking about the divorce papers? My mind was reeling. I don't know. We're still talking, and she's still trying to drag me into counseling. Maybe I should go so she'll lay off the guilt trips. There was another pause as Dylan paced the room. He ran his hand through his hair. Look, I'm having a hard time not seeing my kids enough already, he said. I don't know if I can go through with this. No, he can't be thinking about going back to her. Not after all that's happened between us. Not after everything he said about loving me and not her. Doesn't his own happiness mean anything to him? Doesn't my happiness mean anything? I ran into the bathroom and closed the door, then turned on the faucet. My stomach lurched. I bent over the toilet and threw up. I felt a tearing pain in my chest, like my heart was literally being ripped apart. What else is Dylan hiding from me? After spending all that time sharing so much of ourselves with each other, Dylan's secret felt like the ultimate betrayal. Instead of planning for a new life with me, he was still hanging on to the old one with his wife. I don't know how much time I spent in the bathroom, but when I came out, Dylan was at the kitchen table, sipping a mug of coffee and staring at the wall. "Honey, I didn't hear you come in," he said. He glanced up, then did a double take and stared at me. "You look terrible. Is everything all right?" The chair made a scraping sound as he stood up. He reached for me, but I stepped back. "Don't hug me. I don't even want you to touch me right now." "What? Why didn't you tell me that you didn't serve the divorce papers yet?" Dylan's eyes widened. Then he exhaled roughly and rubbed the back of his neck. "Oh," he muttered, "that's it? That's all you can say?" He sounded like he was more upset about being caught than about hurting me. "Ashley, honey, I was going to tell you." "When?" "I thought the papers were all set and you were trying to hash out the details with your wife. Now I find out that you haven't even started anything. Why are you dragging your feet?" "I'm not dragging my feet," Dylan said. "I'm doing the best I can. You have no idea the kind of obstacle course she's putting me through right now. I haven't told you because I didn't want you to worry about me. I love you too much to pull you into this mess." For some reason, his words didn't ring true. He was saying all the right things about wanting to protect me from his own life messes, but being connected soul to soul with another person meant you could tell when they were lying to your face, and I got the distinct sense he was doing just that. "I thought you were all about openness, about being real," I said, fighting to keep my voice even. "I guess that applies only when it's convenient for you." "That's not fair. Veronica and I have a history together, and it's not exactly easy trying to untangle all of that. She's practically holding my kids hostage and threatening to take everything I own. I can't risk all that, not even for you. I'm so sorry." "Out. Get out. But I don't want to hear from you again until you've served the papers," I said. I didn't want to hear any more sob stories about his wife, his kids, or how hard everything was for him. He was the one who declared that being with me was worth any price. Well, it looked like even Dylan had his limits on what he was willing to pay. When Dylan left my apartment, I panicked. For a few seconds, I regretted my ultimatum. What if that's the last time I ever see him? Then I calmed down as I reminded myself that I was simply being honest, the way I'd always been with him. "He's meant for me. Fate brought us together. He'll serve the divorce papers and come back in a few days." He didn't. 2 weeks passed without any word from him. Then, 3. A month later, I came home from work to find his clothes and everything else he owned gone from my apartment. Kathleen spent the night with me and comforted me where she could. I was thankful she never said, "I told you so." I still believe in fate, and I still believe that Dylan and I are soulmates, but the problem with fate is that it doesn't take free will into account. Destiny may show us all sorts of opportunities, but it's still up to us to choose to act on them. There's still a big hole in my life without Dylan. I don't think the emptiness will ever go away. You don't lose a part of your soul to someone and stay the same person. I only hope that fate will cause our paths to cross again someday. I need to let Dylan figure things out alone while I do the same. It may even take a lifetime, but when it comes to souls, a lifetime is really no time at all. Okay, that's the end of that story. If you tuned in late, this is the Romance Program with Volunteer Jeannie Yost for Sun Sounds. I've got another story coming up. This one is from True Love Magazine. It's called Signs of Life. Here's the story. It was almost 7 o'clock when I pulled into the driveway to find my friend, Sean, waiting for me. Hey, what's up? I rested my elbow in the open window of my pickup. It's Friday night. The Lewis Trio is playing downtown. What do you say? Man, I've had a killer week. I sighed, opened my door, and headed toward the house. I'm doing the wiring at the new Meadowview tract. I must have put in 60 hours. I unlocked the door to find Kelly waiting, her tail wagging so hard that it wagged her entire body. Doubly delighted to see another familiar face, she took turns jumping up on Sean and me as we walked to the kitchen. Sean opened the refrigerator and helped himself to a soda. You've turned down every offer to go out and have some fun lately. He took a sip. You know, we've been friends since the fourth grade, so I can't tell you this. Then, if I can't tell you this, who can? It's been 8 months since the divorce. Julia's gone. You have to get on with your life. I knew Sean had a point, but it didn't feel right. Not yet. Looking back, I'm not even sure what happened. We were so happy together in the beginning. Maybe we just didn't have enough in common. We were always off doing our own things until, in the end, there was nothing to keep us together. Well, now she's got her own place, a good job, and a new guy. It's time to face the fact that she's moved on. You can't keep moping around the house all the time. Another time, I promise. Sure, no problem. Sean set his half-empty can on the counter. Talk to you soon. Kelly followed Sean to the door and then returned to me. She nosed, she nosed my knee until I bent and scratched her behind the ears. Maybe I was moping, but I knew I needed time to close Julia's chapter in my life. The rumbling, that is, in my stomach told me I needed something else. Dinner. A burger and fries would do, so I headed into town. As I passed the Hansen house, a light caught my eye. Actually, it wasn't the Hansen house anymore. They'd been such good neighbors. Lois had brought me casseroles for weeks after Julia had left, and Fred had invited me to play poker with him and his buddies. When they'd moved, I'd hated to see them go. The for sale sign had stood for months, and the house had taken on a sad and deserted look. But now the lawn and bushes were neatly trimmed, and there was a shiny new mailbox and a porch swing. I hadn't seen my new neighbors move in, but tomorrow I figured I'd welcome them to the block. The next morning I set out to introduce myself. I stepped onto the porch and knocked on the screen door. Footsteps sounded on the wooden floor of the hallway. A young woman appeared, pushing her blonde hair back from her face. I'm Kiefer. your neighbor from three doors down, the White House. I gestured in its general direction. I wasn't sure whom I'd expected to answer the door, but I wasn't disappointed. The woman flashed a smile, opened the door, and joined me out on the porch. I'm Paige. We shook hands. She motioned toward the glider swing, and we sat down. You're the first neighbor to introduce yourself. Now I feel officially welcomed. Her smile spread all the way up into her eyes. Sparkling smile, twinkling eyes. Well, you have your work cut out for you, getting this place back into shape. It got to be too much for the Hansons. They finally moved to Ohio to live with their daughter. Paige nodded. Well, the price was right, and I've never been one to back down from a challenge. And it's a challenge, all right. I'm a nurse at the Children's Hospital, so I'm on my feet all day. Then I come home to more work. I can't wait until I have time to kick off my shoes and settle down right here. She patted the thick cushion on the swing. Throw in the latest Sue Grafton novel and I might never leave. You like mysteries too? I remembered the half-read Tony Hillerman book on my nightstand. Speaking of leaving, I guess I should so you can get back to work. Okay, and thanks for stopping by, Kiefer. That afternoon, I took Kelly for a walk that took us by Paige's house. She was outside sweeping the porch. Kelly decided to meet the new neighbor, too, and pulled me up the front walk. Paige leaned her broom against the house and came down the steps to meet us. Hey, Kiefer, who's your friend? She knelt and stroked the dog's head. Meet Kelly. Paige extended her palm, and Kelly placed her paw in it. I could tell that Paige had earned the seal of approval. The sound of jazz floated through the open windows. George Benson. I play that CD so often I could stand a dime up in the grooves. A jazz fan, huh? Oh, yeah, big time. Suddenly, Kelly spotted a squirrel. She barked and strained at her leash. With a helpless smile, I waved goodbye and pantomimed being dragged away by Kelly. Paige chuckled and shook her head. Kelly and I arrived home to a ringing phone. Hey, it's Sean. I thought I'd give it another shot and see if you want to meet me at the Jazz Connection tonight. I surprised both of us. That sounds great. What time? Really? Hey, meet me at 7. The following week, I didn't get home until after dark each night. Driving to the hardware store Saturday morning, I noticed the latest additions to Paige's property. Masses of deep purple petunias filled two baskets hung on either side of her front porch steps and overflowed from a long box at the front window. I checked my rearview mirror for approaching cars before I stopped to admire Paige's handiwork. I was leaving the hardware store with a roll of screening and a staple gun a little while later when I noticed the sign for Sexton's Nursery. I smiled to see Bill Sexton out front pointing a young couple toward a display of Japanese maples. Then it was Sexton who smiled as he noticed me pulling into a nearby parking space. Well, young man, it's been much too long. Sexton extended his hand to me. How have you been, Kiefer? I'm fine, sir, and I'm ready to do some planting. What do you suggest for my front lawn? Well, I just got a shipment of poppies in, and they're in great shape. Take a look. 30 minutes later, I unloaded the flats of brilliant orange flowers and placed them along the length of my winding front path. After another hour, I wiped the dirt from the knees of my jeans and arched my back to loosen up the stiffness. It's been a long time since I'd planted anything, and it felt good. When I took Kelly out that afternoon, she turned to Paige's front walk as if it were a regular part of the route. Paige set down her watering can to shake Kelly's paw. Kiefer, your front yard looks great. Poppies are one of my favorites. Thanks, you inspired me to plant them, actually. I did? A blush colored her cheeks. She turned toward the front of her house. What do you think of my window box? I made it with my own two hands. In fact, I'm discovering all kinds of things I can do by myself, things I thought only my husband could do. Just then, a buzzer sounded from inside the house. Oh, my pie! I have to go. Well, Kiefer and Kelly, it was nice seeing you two again. I walked slowly back home. Husband, she's married. About an hour later, I heard a soft knock at my door. Paige stood there, a covered plate in her hand. My specialty, deep dish apple pie. I don't think I've done any baking since my husband and I split up. I was afraid I might have lost my touch, but this turned out just fine. She handed me the pie. Well, I hope you like it. You're divorced? She nodded, smiling. For almost 2 years now. At first, I don't know how I'd survive. I didn't know. I didn't know how to do anything. I took classes at the community college to learn the basics of home repair, though, and useful things like that. Still, nothing seemed worth the effort, not even the things I'd always loved to do. Anyway, it's been slow, but life has definitely gotten better for me. Buying this house on my own was scary, but I know I can make it into something special. I predict great things for 204 Willow Street. It's really showing signs of life again. I smiled to realize that Paige might just be the one to make my heart show signs of life again, too. Okay, that's the end of that story, and that's going to do it for this edition of the Romance Program. As always, thank you so much for listening. I enjoyed reading to you. I will talk to you next week. This has been Volunteer Jeannie O's for Sun Sounds. Have a great week and take care. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.